Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that now you are here in the form of the Holy Spirit. Lead us by your word and teach us your way correctly, that we may follow therein and our footsteps may not falter. But Lord, in this straight and narrow path, not one deviate, but going straight toward thee and with thee, enter into the joys of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're at number 17 in the God of this evil age, and we're on about page 35, I do believe. And last Wednesday, we studied quite intensively Brother Branham's remarks about the children of God and the children of the devil, in contradistinction one to another, especially where he showed us that the children's devil were called the children of disobedience, and of course then conversely, the children of God were the children of obedience. Now, obedience, of course, always has to do with a word which is particularly of command or a sign that may be interpreted correctly or some type of example given. So that those would then be obedient to whatever was set before them as a sense of direction or what to do. So actually it boils down, however, to that which is a word which may be correctly understood, which may be impressed upon those to whom the word is given, and then, of course, they'd be able to follow that particular word. Now, of course, the obedient ones were obedient not to simply a word, but to a revealed word, as in the illustration that Brother Branham gave in 1 John 3:10 concerning Abel. And it is also interesting to note that Paul was obedient to the heavenly vision, which was a revelation as set forth in the book of Acts, chapter 26. And we might just look at that particularly, 26 and 19. And Paul speaking here says, "Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Now, this thought here that Paul is bringing forth in the book of Acts here before King Agrippa is made marvelously clear as Paul stood before Felix and is accused by Ananias the high priest over here in chapter 24, verses 1 to 15. "And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called for, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, 'Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy province.'" He's buttering the old guy up. He's a lobby for the Sanhedrin, bunch of corrupt Jews. "We accept it always and at all places, most noble Felix, with thankfulness." Fat liar. His mouth was just oozing the grease of hypocrisy. That bunch couldn't wait to cut Rome's throat if they had a chance. Oh, I just love these hypocrites. "Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee," so I've got my point across, O great one, "I pray thee thou wouldst hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world." And of course we have no king but Caesar. "And a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who hath also gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us," that's where we're bothering you with these nitwit things, you know, "with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things, wherever we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying these things were so." He had a bunch with his lobby there. whole high priest and the chief speaker of the whole bunch. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself." Now, he's not buttering the guy up, but he's answering fire with fire. "Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet for 12 days since I went up to the Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee," now watch, "that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Now you see, what you're looking at here is the fact that this man was obedient according to verse 14. "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." He said, they believe in the law and the prophets. I believe in the law and the prophets. This is my understanding according to the heavenly vision, that I have a correct revelation. I allow them to believe what they believe. Why do they not allow me? Because this is a government under Rome, which is like Libra, a justice for all. It's an open book. And long as you don't contravene a certain area, you have a right to your conscience. And these Jews, the Sanhedrin, did not want that right given to them. Paul had every right to it. He certainly did. All right, we also note over here in Romans. It's the first chapter of Romans. And we start with verses 1 to go to 7. "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus, the Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." And he's speaking right here that Jesus rose from the dead, and therefore that same Spirit that was incarnated has come back. And he came back to Paul in a pillar of fire to bring the church into its existence. And remember, the church by this time already had a platform. The church did not have anything other than a platform to build upon. Now, from the platform comes a foundation. And remember, in the foundation laid, which was Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, when the building started. And Paul knew that. And notice he says, "by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom also you are the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And notice there, the fifth verse again, "by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith." So Paul was an obedient person. He was obedient to the Word. And this is what we are particularly looking back at. Also, in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 5. "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." Now this man was standing up to a divine revelation which was vindicated, and he said, "I will call your bluff if I have to." Now if you think I'm not scared to call your bluff, don't ever call the bluff of a prophet. That's the one person cannot be judged. And more than one man died because he called Williams Brown's bluff. And the only thing is, many more would have died except that God did not want to tip his hand, because only 8 will make the ark. Not just figuratively speaking, But speaking directly by the words of Jesus Christ himself, few there be that make it. And he stood right there, and he let them know what he was to them. He was that apostle, according to Romans. If he was an apostle to Rome, he was an apostle to the Corinthians. And he based his apostleship upon his vindicated ministry as a prophet. Now listen, we do not walk according to the flesh, and don't call my bluff. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, what is he saying? Is he simply saying, hey, I'm not a high-minded person. I'm not a mean person. I'm not one of these, you know, like a carnal working person. He said, no. He said, I've got the Holy Spirit beside me. And there's the thing, the same as Elisha did when he made a mistake, and the same as Moses did when he made a mistake in using Almighty God in a wrong way. He smote the rock, and the other man called out bears that destroyed children. But this man watched himself in the meekness of Christ. Like the day when Brother Branham was challenged by Almighty God, whether he would destroy that young man sitting in the congregation, absolutely so foolish, kissing his girl and messing around with her in the house of Almighty God. It wasn't a true temple to God, but that place was consecrated to God. And Brother Branham stood there, his face dark, rocking back and forth on his heels. And I never prayed as I prayed in my life, oh God, don't let him touch that boy. He suddenly softened. He said, I'll let you live. They didn't realize that man had that power. The same as those Pentecostal preachers, 300 strong, who defied him in Chicago. And he said, you're smarter than I thought. He just right on the tape. And he said, Lee, they were smarter. Had one man move forward to challenge me, they'd have carried him up first because a pillar of fire hung there. Oh, listen, people, don't get an idea that you can be strong in yourself. You haven't got any strength. But there's something comes over a man that knows that he knows. And that was the man, Apostle Paul. And he stood there, and now he said, listen, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. There's something far beyond that. It's not flesh you're dealing with. It is absolutely the Spirit of Almighty God, mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Now watch, and casting down reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What is he talking about? He's talking about man's word against God's word. He's talking about man trifling with God's word. He's talking about God's word standing inviolate. My guy's trying to bring up yesterday a little marriage thought. If God ordained it wasn't good for man to be alone, and he ordained that man could not be alone without the word, then you better get with that word, because God not only gave the act of marriage, but he gave the strength behind the Holy Spirit to make that marriage successful. And that's the way the church is, to bring us right to Christ from the engagement to the complete union. When we stand at the wedding supper and come back here to take over in the millennium. Listen, that's exactly what it's all about, brother, sister. Don't make any mistake. Look over here in 1 Peter. All through the Bible we see the truth given to us, scripture after scripture, where there isn't any doubt. All right, 1 Peter, 1 chapter 13 to 16, I suppose I got it right. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which in them did signify, when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire look into. Now, he's talking about the Old Testament prophets preaching the gospel. Because the gospel actually starts from the book of Genesis and ends in Revelation. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds. That's what Paul said. Be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. What are we to be obedient to? The grace that is delivered at the end time. Which grace is, except I send Elijah with the message of restoration, I'll wipe you out. And what are you to be obedient to? You are to be obedient to the word, which is to say yes, first of all, in the passive. And then in the active, not to deviate from it, and to die if necessary, live or die, sink or swim, this is that word. Thereby we stand with the prophets, brother, sister. We are in a most unique position. of any people in all this entire world. We even have a superiority over Eve. And Adam, who stood there in the presence of Almighty God, could not come to the tree of life. But we have a privilege they did not have, and we can maintain it. Now, he says here then, dearly beloved. No, over here. Obedient children, not fasting yourselves according to former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of your behavior. Because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And Brother Branham absolutely would have to equate that to Matthew 5:48, where it says, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And he said, if God demanded it, then God must make a way for it. And that is an absolute, consummate, brilliant, spiritual statement. Because if God said it, God had better make a way for it. Because you and I cannot bring into existence something on our own. It must be God who said, if the Lord build not the house, they labor in vain that build it. So you can understand where we are standing with this prophet William Branham in this great and marvelous day. All right, now, all right, Brother Branham dwelt on this portion of the message. As he dwelt on it, he mentioned the disobedience to the word of God by Eve. Now, as we brought up Wednesday, we must be very careful here and note that Eve was not a child of disobedience, but she was a disobedient child. I can tell you, you can have something that's born of a goat, and you can have something born of a sheep, and they'll both get into mischief. But there's two different natures in there. So she was not a child of disobedience, but she was a disobedient child. She bent to the false word in a confrontation with the enemy. But you'll notice that Jesus did not bend in a confrontation. There's a big difference there. Let's look at the book of Luke. One of my favorite portions, because this seems to clear a lot of things up. In verse 17, the first chapter, and John shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's exactly what Peter said in 1 Peter, which I read to you. Here is today the Omega of this Alpha, which was giving the people a revelation because they were ignorant. They wanted to know. They were not in rebellion. And they didn't understand. They never knew the times. They didn't know the hour. But they felt in the spirit. They felt in the air. And believe me, when they said, oh God, send us a prophet. Oh God, send us a prophet. They recognized the prophet. Not like America. Oh, God, send us a prophet, the herald of his coming. Many times I've used this illustration, because Brother Branham's right there, Brother Moore in his own house. God, send us a prophet. So the prophet came in, and the prophet left. God, send us a prophet. God, send us a prophet. And my Bible tells me when you turn down the one that God sent, you will receive the one that God didn't send. The Antichrist is in order. You do what you want about it. I've just given you the Word of God. All right, now listen. See the exact scripture Brother Branham was using when he used this phraseology concerning Eve. Now remember, he had already used something concerning Abel and Cain. And he had made the differentiation. And he said, like Eve. He didn't say she was one with him. He said, like, using an illustration. So, in Ephesians, the second chapter, he says here, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that hath he quickened shouldn't even be there. That's something somebody interpolated. Forget it. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children or sons of disobedience, among whom you had your behavior in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, they could not tell you from a child of disobedience, even though you were not a child of disobedience, you were merely disobedient with them. That's where you get the eagle in the chicken nest. Brother Branham, very correct. Shall we read Psalm 51? And I won't take too much time this morning, because to be honest, I'm burnt out and I'm very tired already. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Is that the voice of Cain? Ask you, is that the voice of Cain? He didn't want cleansing. He said, God, who do you think you are to lay your hand on me? The destiny, the devil, after the white throne, is going to gather up all his children in disobedience, and they're going to come against the holy encampment to destroy you and me. Do you understand the difference this morning? A disobedient child from a child of disobedience. Here it is right before you. Make no mistake about it. I've acknowledged my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Now he's bewailing the fact he took Bathsheba when he had 499 other wives to gratify himself in. And sure to God, the bunch of them must have been just as good as she was sexually. I hit that hard to let you know how deep a child can be in disobedience without being a child of disobedience. Murder her husband. But notice the grace of God allowing him to have a son by her called Solomon. Who just spins you right out of your own orbit. Stagger under the grace of Almighty God. Listen. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Did Cain talk like that? I got it coming to me. I deserve it. No. This is a disobedient child. Listen, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Married sex is not unrighteous. Marriage intercourse is a righteous act according to the prophet. But you can tell right here, that wasn't the way God wanted his children coming forth in the first place. Notice all the time how things go off a cater and God brings them right back having his way. So he admits exactly what it's all about. But he was not born a bastard child. He was the legitimate child of his parents, the anointed of God that Samuel saw and recognized, a man after God's own heart. One of God's children. Oh, I can take this legalist message to legalists and say, well, I can get away with anything. And the eternal security, but I can get away with anything. Oh, you cannot get away with anything. You will hate yourself in your condition if you are a true child of God. You'll abominate yourself in the righteous presence of our God. I wish you all could have been in the prophet's presence as I was time after time. Something crept over you like an eerie feeling. And you began to walk softly. True. Isn't he said here, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He flunked the test in his flesh. After having just said the mighty deep things of Almighty God and stood for righteousness and sanctification, and sanctification particularly the flesh, he fell in the deepest cesspool of it. Sure. Now he's repenting. I ask you, did Cain repent? Cain couldn't repent. God only can grant repentance. And repentance is granted only to His children. Disobedient to what? His word, to His purpose, to His heart, to His life. But God is faithful, who has also promised, who said, I stand behind my word to perform it, and He'll not lose any one of it. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. This man was penitent, his heart was crushed. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit. This man is screaming in the torture of his soul, God, do something because I'm rotten. He didn't say, well, hallelujah, I'm a child of God. Oh, bless God, I'm a child. Hallelujah. You can tell right there that guy is nothing but a dog who would talk that way. A hypocrite. A make-believer. When a church is called to repentance, it will come to repentance because God has granted it. And God has not granted this age repentance. That's right. Don't challenge me. You know I'm right. And I don't feel any challenge. I just let you know that. Eight souls within the ark. You and I are not getting away with anything, brother, sister. Or is the world. We'll hear Brother Branham say, free from it. We won't get there this morning. I ain't going to finish my notes likely. Now watch carefully. The first definite child of disobedience, Cain, started his own religion based on the Word of God, but only after he turned down the manifested revelation that God had given to Abel. There's organization. It went on to the Tower of Babel with Nimrod. What we are looking at and saying is this. The children of disobedience, in contradistinction to the wise and the foolish, because you've got wise and foolish virgins, you've got one cloth out of which is cut the pattern, and the remnant is identical to the cloth that was used. One is called wise virgin, one is called foolish. The wise virgin have what it takes to carry oil. And Brother Branham explained it. The oil is the Holy Ghost. The conduit of the Holy Ghost is the Word. He said to the Pharisees, you have no place in you for the Word. And the foolish virgin did not have a place in them for the present Word. They were still living on the old, and the oil had leaked out. And because they had not taken the message, having come out, because they came out, they had to die. And that's what this age is. The foolish virgin will die, hunted down like dogs. They'll try to hunt us down too if we're still here. The children of disobedience and contradistinction to the foolish and the wise always turn down the revealed word of the hour or the spiritual food in that season. And when they do, they use the unrevealed and misinterpreted word to start their own religion. That's what they do. These people are very clever. Now, listen closely. What we just read and saw here is the Alpha. Now, I wonder, do you get it? We're looking at the very beginning. And in the beginning, you have to look at Cain. You must understand exactly what happened. Now, watch. Eve was a disobedient child to the Word. From the disobedient child came forth the son of disobedience. You following me? This is how Brother Branham could say, when the bride went astray, immediately from her sprung up the evil one. All were starting with the truth and the veering from it. No great mystery. But it is a mystery. Now, listen, if you got it, let me ask you, what is the Alpha which continues to the Omega. In other words, what is the pattern due to a spirit of life that follows through the church system, which finally enthrones Satan, that's the Omega, as to be God. As we consider organization, because we see the Omega, the Omega now is definitely an organization, and if the Omega is the organization, then no matter what you are looking at and thinking in your own mind and studying your own scripture and getting your own thoughts, let me tell you this. The Alpha and the Omega is the same. Or you will plant wheat and get oats. You will plant corn and get barley. And you'll think you're planting righteousness and go to hell. I had to throw that in because I mean. Up here, down there, we'll eat cake, anything else. Right, Laura? Laura knows me. We just hit it on the head. I care nothing for a man's reputation. Stick with this word. You can always tell a person's mouth whether they really be the prophet. Watch the goofy things they tell you. All right, listen. We are going to go to Revelation chapter 17. And we are going to read. And there came one of the seven angels that had the seven seals talk with me, saying, come hither, I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Now, Brother Branham called Eve the prostitute, because out of her came the child of disobedience. Did she not give birth to it? Well, come on. Brother Brown is nicer than I am. I complained and I said, I don't like what I'm doing. He said, well, somebody's got to do it. I don't know if the Lord chose me or not, or he chose me. Brother Brown said, you do it, because nobody else is, and I've kept it up. All right? He called Eve the prostitute. She was a prostitute to her husband. So she brought it forth. Can't deny it. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. See, they love it. Oh, they love it. He carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names and blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of fornication. Oh, my. She was a prime candidate for AIDS. And she is, too. She's loaded. Upon her forehead a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots, Abomination of the Earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs and Jesus. And I saw her, I wonder, with great admiration. Hey, he said, hey, man, this is a system. The angel said, why do you marvel? I'll tell the mystery of the one. The beast that carries her, seven heads, and so on. Now, that's the Roman Empire come back to life in the Papal Empire, the Holy Roman Empire, and revived again under American power that built the image by saving Europe for the beast. And Rome sits back right now, and who comes running? Bush goes running to consult with the Pope. That stupid idiot. He hasn't got anything. Don't tell me he's got anything worth listening to. And Gorbachev goes running. What is making those men do it? Spirit like spirit. In other words, Rome is a political system. Now let's read chapter 18. What part will I read? I could read it all, but I won't do it. Now let's read a bit here. Verse 2. He cried mightily, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, become the habitation of devils. The world church system, spiritually, economically, financially, militarily, is run by the devil. Do what you want about it. So, Brother Bill, I don't really think so. See, you don't believe the message. You don't believe vindication. Look, these are notes. Not a television set. It's not a radio. They're not your notes. They're not your thinking. They're mine.
Well, you say, Brother Bill, I can understand that. Then understand this. We're listening to a vindicated prophet. He knows what he knows, like I know what I know. These are my notes. That's all I can say. All right, listen. All the nations have drunk of the wine, their wrath, their fornication. The kings are written to fornication, their merchants are the wax rich, the buns are delicacies, and so on and so on. And now, listen, she's going to be blotted out. So, if that is Omega, what is Alpha? Alpha is the devil. Who said, I'm going to take it all over? Alpha is the devil who used the beast, who in turn used a child of God, the son of disobedience. The true son is Satan. And in the confrontation with Eve, he bowed. She bowed. And she took Adam with her. That is why the church can never bring forth Christ in the flesh. It's going to take a virgin, pure bride that isn't the prostitute Eve. That isn't the prostitute church that turned on Jesus. The Gentile church of whom Paul said, I espoused you as a chaste virgin, but I caught you messing around. What was her sexual intercourse? Mental. She'd come into a state of disobedience by disbelieving the word, and her actions begin to show it. All right. Now, before we go further, we have to consider Brother Branham's statement that when the message of the oneness came on the Godhead, they organized it and died. Has also happened to Lutherans and Wesleyans. Now notice in there that Brother Branham said they died. Am I going to then understand that these men that received a genuine truth and loved it died? No, I am understanding what happened to Eve. Satan came in with these angels of light according to 2 Corinthians 11 chapter and began to turn their understanding away from the truth. So, to my understanding, we can compare this to Eve. What Brother Branham said about oneness and these others under Luther and Wesley. She was not a child of disobedience, but a disobedient child. That brought death and the son of death, who was the start of the serpent seed. Eve listened to the disobedient one, even Satan. As he was represented to her in an almost human being animal. So we see in Paul's day the fall of the bride members as they listened to Satan's angels. And I'm going to read it to you in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And he's talking about this new Jesus, this new spirit, this new gospel. And he said, it's no wonder. He said, don't stand back and marvel as though I'm telling you something you really don't know. He said here, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself was transformed into an angel light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And what was it that Satan did to deceive Eve to become disobedient? Now, she was not a child of disobedience. She was taken out of Adam's side. She was a part of Adam. And the Bible distinctly says they were male and female in one spirit form. And Brother Branham said God put it into one flesh, and he took the female out and put it in the female body. So don't tell me she's a child of the devil. No way. She was not in the original creation according to the flesh. No, sir. She was outside that first 6 days. Couldn't have been a part of it. She came through the proper channels, and she was a disobedient child, just what we've been reading about. Now notice Satan came as an angel of light, and you will find that. Beware of those false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, for inwardly they are ravening wolves. They come to you looking exactly like Christians. They manifest the fruit. They manifest the gifts. They stand right there, and you cannot tell them. one from the other, because Brother Branham said the two spirits at the end time are so close, it's a razor-edge distinction. Now, what brings us on at the end time? The folly of the first church that brought a wrong seed, the same as Eve, brings the wrong seed to culmination at this very end time. The only generation through the seven church ages that produces the true seed, Christ in the flesh, is represented now in this hour, because Brother Branham said she won't fall. Now, what's a fallen woman? She's breeding with the wrong man. She hasn't got a husband. She says, I got a husband. It's the same as Eve said, I gotten a man from the Lord. In other words, it was Adam who fostered this child. Like, son. Her act was entirely illegitimate. Because she completely belonged to Adam. She brought forth this bastard. You got the same thing happening until the end generation. The bride will not become disobedient. The prophet brings her back to the Apostle Paul. And at this time, the Spirit of God does not say through the Apostle Paul, I have espoused you as a true virgin, but you've sunk down. The prophetic voice of God through the prophet said, you are the righteous, sinless, blameless, virtuous bride of Christ, and you will not fall. Now, we're talking about doctrine, brother, sister. And we're talking about Christ is the doctrine. Not your bunch of preachers up north of me and around the country. It was north, I guess, that way. I suppose south that way and west that way and east this way. Not these hamstrung birds by the devil who are saying, well, Christ is the doctrine like serpents. Christ is the seals. The full manifestation of God, the Rhema Logos. So turn him aside, deny him. Tell him and preach! Don't be little baby fools. Paul stood there with such intensity. He said, you've got to be mad. No, he said, I'm not mad. I'm sold out. God said, I'm tired of this puky generation. You make me sick in my stomach. Lukewarm. Get hot or get cold. But they want Lee Vale to sit in the fence and say, well, it's okay. Okay, my foot. Alpha or the start of all. Alpha is the start of all organizations. Is the turning down of a revelation. And a part of the true revelation is to believe what Brother Branham said about it. Because he just doesn't talk Bible like the rest do. He goes behind and exposes those things which were not known from before the foundation of the world. In other words, they were there in the keys and mysteries, and he brings them out to us through the revelation. So what then again is the Alpha? The start of all organization is to turn down the revelation. And remember, part of the true revelation is to accept only a true vindicated messenger and a true fivefold ministry. The devil's got a trick saying there isn't any fivefold ministry. That's right. Going all around the country. They just play tapes and that's all. Or we believe the prophet. When did the prophet say there weren't a fivefold ministry? When did the prophet say quit preaching the gospel? And the gospel is the end time message. What is the gospel? The good news of God and His prophet. If there's better news than that, you tell me. You say, well, Brother Vail, it's the blood of the cross is the best news. I ask you, Christian, what was the blood of the cross for? Oh, you got money to buy a brand new car. So you look at the money and you say, well, the money is there for a brand new car, but I just love that money and I won't buy the car. Idiots. Don't tell me people are spiritual idiots. I'm telling you they are. They haven't got the mind of Christ, therefore they have no true wisdom. And so they talk about the blood, not knowing where the blood is to take us. As one fellow said, they get on the signs that point to the bus depot instead of getting on the bus that the sign pointed to. Alpha, or the start of all organizations, is the turning down the revelation. The true revelation, vindicated. And then proceeding on to its own by the seed of discrepancy in the Antichrist spirit of presumption, even as Eve presumed and Cain presumed. But you notice Eve repented. She put the blame where it really belonged. Cain presumed. And people today presume they can build the house of God apart from God. As they said, a million more in 54. Brother Branham just loved to quote the Baptists. A million more in 54. A million more in 54. And a million in 5 and 55. And a million in 6 and 66. Whatever. Oh, we can take what God has put here and we can use it. And they forget that Cain did the same thing. They forget the devil did the same thing. They don't know who their parents are. They're not thoroughbreds. They're mules. Now watch this hour and see the truth of it. Let's come and take a look. We go to Revelation chapter 22. Now I don't care what anybody says. Old Bloomfield knew this was right, but how many more like old Bloomfield know anything about it? That's last Sunday's. 22. And in verse 9, then saith he me, see you don't do it. Don't worship me. For I am of thy fellow servants, of the brethren, the prophets, and of them that keep the saying of his book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Revelation 10 and 4 said, seal it. This says, don't you dare. So therefore, somebody, somehow, at some time, has to open the book. Now, the question, who's going to do it? How are we going to know? Well, of course, God's stupid. Anybody knows that God's an idiot. The Sanhedrin said when God gets in trouble, he calls on us. And the Roman Catholic Church believes what they say to be the truth. Because they're stuck with their stupid eyes. And they haven't been given the chance to repent. They were given it before Luther. And they turned it down and took Jezebel. And we'll talk about her with her painting her face and her short hair and everything else later on. Typing women today, and women typing in. Turned it down flat. Tell me who's going to open the book. Did God give us a key? Is it in the Bible? Certainly. Certainly. The Spirit of Christ alone. And that's why Christ was a prophet, through the prophet, can interpret the times and understanding of this book. God has to send a prophet. And there's only one prophet that we know of, and that's Elijah. Now, the point is, who is Elijah? Well, it wasn't that idiot, because, you know, anybody with a great ministry like him, everybody, you see, Brother Bill, gets puffed up. And when they get puffed up, you know, that poor Kentucky jerk, you know. He just couldn't even talk straight. And so, because God answered back, he got puffed up. I'm Elijah. Somebody's got to be Elijah. Somebody's got to be Elijah. The Jews are back in the homeland. The whole world's going to turn on them because the oil is going to get scarce. And America has already turned on the Jews. Whether you know it or not, it is absolutely known in Jewish circles that Reagan was the friend of the Jews and Bush is their enemy. So you do what you want. I can preach politics as I read. God gave me a gift years ago to read the right books and the right thing without going through dribbles and dribbles of God knows what. I don't have to. Now I just read the prophet. Oh, I have a good time. What about you? I'm glad you came through. I could stand up and have a good time. He said, they seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that's unjust will be unjust still. He that's filthy, let him be filthy still. In other words, leave him alone. And he that's righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that's holy, let him be holy still. In other words, there's nothing you can do about it. You cannot touch the righteous and do one thing to them. You cannot touch the unholy and do one thing to them. It's over. If this isn't white throne, tell me what it is. Come on. If this is not Malachi 4, tell me what it is. You tell me. I want to know. Well, it won't do any good because I already listened to the prophet. The prophet told me. And behold, I come quickly. He hasn't even come. He's only appeared. That's the Holy Spirit. The same one in the pillar of fire coming down to reveal the same word that Paul gave. We're waiting now for the bodily return, which is the one part of the seventh seal the Branhamites get all mixed up on because they can't figure it. He said, the second coming's left out. But he already told them, appearing and coming are two different words. Therefore, two different logos. If they're two different rhema, they're two different logos. That's the rhema logos of this hour. That's the rhema logos of this hour. But the physical comes when we're taken up. When the rhema logos is flesh, we see him. We're taken up by him, but I don't believe we see him. I don't believe we see the pillar of fire. We could, but I kind of doubt it. There's no word for it. Brother Branham just said all three things take place. Now behold, I come quick, my words and give man according to which you be on Alpha and Omega. I am fulfilling what I said it was in the beginning, and I'm proving I am all of it. I am it. The first and last. Now listen, blessed are they that wash their robes. Now look at that horrible translation the devil threw in there. To do his commandments. What are you going to do to become immortal? What do you do to get repentance granted to you? What do you do to become a believer? What do you do to become a seed? You got to be or ain't. You see the Garden of Eden? Okay, now, blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, enter in through the gate city. Peter said, Lord, he said, just not my hands and feet. He said, do all of you. And he said, look, Peter, step aside, boy, step aside. He might as well have said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, listen, all it needs is the feet at this time. Peter wanted head, hands, and feet. But at the end time, it's the washing of the robes of completion. When the bride is all glorious within and without, because it's a holy, perfect garment. It's an inner garment, a vestiture, a vestment. It becomes a vestiture, and then it says they alone have the right to the tree of life. The very single thing that Eve wanted and Adam wanted has been withheld for 6,000 years. And it's now in sight at this hour to the believers like you and me. And what does it say? When you come to that tree of life, you have the entrance to the holy city via, which has already explained the 1,000-year millennium. One day. My brother and sister, today after tomorrow, you go and enter the holy city. Today, 1,000-year millennium. A further sanctification, a further tremendous period is waiting us. Now, that's its results. Now, see what organization does. Let's look at organization. They are in chapter 22, 18, and 19. For I testified every man that heareth the words of the prophets of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add him the plagues that are written in this book. Now listen, what is he talking about? Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So he's telling you what comes out in Revelation 22 and 10. Don't you dare change it. Here's where you're stuck, brother, sister. You're not stuck through the whole Bible. I don't care if this bird that lives in licentious over in Germany comes along and he said, well, you see, Brother Dale, Brother Branham should have talked about Zachariah, and he should have talked to this, and he should have talked to that. He forgot Brother Branham said, under the Feast of Trumpets, I was going to preach the trumpets, but God said, lay off. It's not the thing to do with you. You'll be gone. You don't preach about those trumpets and those vials. Back off. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What are you trying to believe outside of William Branham's preaching? Oh, my dear Baptist friend, said so-and-so, you're dead, forget it. I just cut you off like that. I'm sorry, but you asked for it. Amen. If you're saying it. Well, I've got an opinion, you're dead. This message alone has life. Eternal life, immortality. You understand what I'm reading? Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. The seven seals and the seven thunders. Why did Brother Branham say what I say, say what I say? Because this is it. He never covered the whole Bible. Why should he? You know something? That he gave us so much is so fantastic. He gave it to peons like you and me who have an expansive, regenerated heart and brain to take these goodies. We have the insatiable appetite for the lovely mysteries. And Brother Paulberg is not psychedelic, is it? He knows what I'm talking about. I'm not going to tell you about it. You can't remember that sermon preached. Somebody preached some time ago. We don't deal with those things. We deal with the realities. And Brother Branham laid it down. And he hears what the people do. They don't listen. So what happens? They add and they get the tribulation. No other generation can do it. And those that take away have their names out of the book of life. It's finished. Finished. If it can be proven by some vindication, this is the man that God entrusted to open the book. Well, you see, I'm sold on it. Whatever anybody else does is their business. Now, with this in mind, we read again. The great antidote that Brother Branham brought us in Ephesians, the second chapter, and again, and you who are dead in trespasses and sin, you that in time past were just like the goats wandering around in your mess. You were like the children of rebellion and disobedience. There wasn't one sign or one clue about you, according to nature, that you were any different, but God, who is rich in mercy. For his great love, where he loved us, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. When they were complaining, he said, this is real love. Hath quickened us together with Christ, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and put us in the divine revelation and position. Quickened us with Christ, raised us together, that in the ages to come, not this age in which you and I were a debunker of the things of God and full of the bunkum of the devil. Not in this age, brother, sister. It's very mild here. The ages to come show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness through us, toward us through Jesus Christ. Now, these people that we're talk about the blood. The blood is not effective when you go against the word. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. I never could figure why the Branhamites were always worried about the blood on or off the mercy seat. I said, what does it matter? In one place, he said, the blood fell upon the ground and went back to its elements. What do I care if the blood has done its work? Brother Branham saw the blood in a vicious circle around the earth. Then is the blood around the earth? What does it matter? The Holy Ghost came back. The life. What are all these speculations? They're not worth a nickel. We don't dwell in a speculation. There is a scientific picture As Brother Branham said, it was when Moses went down to Egypt, God was with him, and he appeared, and that's God appeared in signs and wonders, not only that, but he said he was literally seen upon Mount Sinai in the pillar of fire, so today, and the camera took his picture. I like it, I don't know. Listen, this is exemplified to us thoroughly in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter. And Paul here is going to leave the people. They're weeping and sobbing. And amongst that elite, beautiful crowd, the false shepherds have come in. The phony elders. The sheep stealers. The wolves. The sheep killers. And so Paul says, I may take you to record this day, verse 26, I'm pure from the blood of all. The word men is thrown in there. Shouldn't be. It's everybody. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What's the counsel of God in this hour? We're reading it right here in this sermon. Come out of her, my people. Get rid of your own thinking. What you've been taught, forget it. There's been word upon word added, word upon word taken, misinterpretation, everything. We've had it. That was part of our nature in the church system. We're in the bride system. He said, I no longer call you church. You're not church. I no longer call you saint. You're not saints. You're bride. What does it matter whether you used to work as a chambermaid or you're the chief stewardess up there in one of the fancy motels or you ran a great big department store or something? What does it matter when you marry the nice guy that's got all the money, the personality, the great lover of our soul? What do you care what you are? It's what you is, baby. It's what you is through him. And in his glory will shine. I shall be like him, wondrously like him, Jesus, my Savior. That's what we're talking about. We don't have any hope in ourselves. Forget it. Now he said, I have not shunned to declare the counsel of God. Brother Branham did the same thing. Take heed there from yourselves of all the flock, or it's the Holy Ghost who made you overseers to feed the church of God, which it preached his own blood. For this I know, after my departing, this Eden, Eve will be attacked by grievous wolves. Not sparing the flock, they already came in. You know something? I want you to sit and think this morning how dirty, rotten, filthy the devil is. To give him his dues. Lousy scum. There's not enough morals left in this world to really hit you with this, but how would you like your daughter impregnated by filth? I'm afraid our daughters are looking for it. So I can't talk too much. They don't know what I'm talking about. We've got so used to filth, there's nothing left. There's no comparison hardly. Yet Brother Branham did say, it takes a dirty woman, a rotten woman, a foul woman, to make a real woman shine. So bless God, there's a small bride somewhere. Amen. That shines on amongst all these filthy prostitutes in the world. But how would you like it? That's what Satan did. And how can you do anything but hate him? Despise him. And what he's done to the noble creatures that God put on this land. I already read you Luke 1:17. They are ignorant of the word of God. That's exactly why God sent John the Baptist to forerun Jesus Christ. In plain English, nobody needs to forerun God. Why did he send him? To catch the attention. To know who was coming. To start the ball rolling for the elect. How many listened? And when he came, who listened? Hardly anybody. But he came to bring the disobedient to the wisdom of the Lord, which disobedience is not necessarily an act which is against a commandment that the person knew, but it means ignorance. It's like a sign. Somebody waves, and the guy says, oh, I thought he meant me to move on. So the guy goes down the road and falls into a ditch. Well, hey, I'm sorry. I wasn't signaling for you to go on. I was signaling for you to slow down. Oh, boy. I got my signals mixed. That's why Brother Branham came. That's why John came. To make sure you got your signals and your sign exactly right by the grace of God. This is also Malachi 4. Malachi 4, and it says over here in verse 6, and he shall be revived. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, which is the burning up of everybody. At the end of the 3.5 years. And he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, because John the Baptist did the first part of verse 6, and so therefore it will not be repeated. And that's what Paul said. Though you've got 1,000 instructors, you've got one father in the gospel. And Brother Branham came right on his heels as the father, and he took his own wife. He said, she is my wife, but she is my daughter in the gospel. He let them know exactly that he was the father. I'll never forget the perfect picture. Old Brother Wright, he was frail. And when I saw him, I thought, oh God, don't let that happen to me. He'd sit out in his car with the windows rolled up and everybody else enjoying the crisp air out there. And he'd sit in there to get the sunshine and try to get warm. And I remember he stood before Brother Branham that day, his hair kind of white and fuzzy sticking out there. And him so frail, beautiful looking man, fading away, and Brother Branham stood there, and God have pity, but William Branham looked just like his father, and a son standing there. And he looked up with that expression in his face, like my father and my father. Looking there. Oh, listen, brother, sister, I want to tell you, it's turning the hearts of the children back to the father, because William Branham is identical to the Apostle Paul. He is the Omega of the Alpha. But the vindication, that's in, you can find that in the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, for one place when he said, from Jerusalem to Israel, come all around about. He said, it's manifest that I stand vindicated. He said, you're not standing, he said, in something somebody just made up. He said, I proved it. And they read, the people said, ha, ha, ha. Maybe what? 10, 15 million people said, ha, ha, ha. 5 billion people say, ha, ha, ha. See, vindication to them is no vindication, because they got a mindset by the devil. If a child, originally a child of obedience, a true child, can become fooled and disobedient, what about a child of disobedience? There's no hope, brother, sister. This also is 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and it's verses 14 to 16. And it says here, for though you have, though you have 10,000, no, I write not these things to shame you. As my beloved sons, I warn you. Oh, I like that. That is so perfect. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Jesus Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me. Now that's what Paul said here. He said, they're trying to get you from me because I don't have any glamour. Listen to his grammar. Us apostles, he said, are set for, as fools for Christ's sake. But you are wise in Christ. He said, we're weak, but you're strong. You're honorable. We're despised. Even this present hour, we hunger and thirst. We're naked. We're buffeted. We got no certain dwelling place. We labor, work with our own hands. We're reviled, but we bless. Persecuted, we suffer. We're defamed. We entreat. We're made filth of the world. The offscouring. Oh, they said, that's right, Paul. I couldn't attend your church. You're too much of a gutter bum. Why, the Vatican cannot even be numbered in dollars. The beautiful churches. Who would want to be with you jerks? Now you Branhamites, you are stupid, stupid, stupid. The man that you called a great man was an ignorant jerk. Why, we know his friends, who positively will tell you that he followed a man named Souders, who was the originator of the Sons of the Prophets, and William Branham took their word letter by letter, and what he says to you is what they taught him. He's a liar. I just ask one question. Did they have thus saith the Lord? They're telling me that God is a liar. They're telling me that God has no integrity. Let me tell you something. Lee Dale has no integrity. Not a bit. I could just as soon see you die in your own blood as anybody else. That's your tough luck. But I've got something to tell you. I believe the best I can in that. Whoever talked to William Branham is the one I hope to talk to. The one that God answered back to is the one I want to talk to. I haven't got anything to give you. Never have and never will. You don't either. You're in the same lousy, stinking boat that I am. In the respect of the fact we have nothing that we can produce at any time, any more than anybody else can. But this man did. And while he was alive, and many several years afterward, there wasn't one religious historian who did not admit that he had the greatest ministry since the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now it's so convenient that he's dead to lie about him and tell callous lies. The same filthy bunch are lying about the God of this Bible. Amen. Do what you want about it, brother, sister. I have no time for that utter nonsense. All right, listen. 1 Corinthians, I said 4. I read it. Having seen this and now understanding the organization is of the devil, we can start next Wednesday. On page 35, paragraph 145, after we read Genesis 11, 1 to 9, the 2 Thessalonians. So that's it. Never seem to get caught up. Well, one day, I hope to get caught up after the change sets in. Let's rise and be dismissed. Lots of food out there. There's enough meat to put you all in a beef garment. Raise your cholesterol 50 points. Give you indigestion the size of a baseball bat. I'm not telling you a lie. It's the truth. Time you eat the buns, you'll feel sleepy. Heavenly Father, we love the people here. We love your word, Lord. We love to fellowship with them around the word, around the table of food, spiritual, physical, whatever. To see their faces, Lord, and know that the registering of the word is what is important with them as well with us. Only praying, oh God, release that life even as the prophet says you will in this same sermon as we get down the road a little bit. We're looking only for it, Lord. In the meantime, may we not take it to the place where we lose the sense of the great sobriety and the great strength of it, Lord, coming more and more to that image as Jesus was and Paul was and William Branham with the faces set as flint to go right down that road no matter what it takes. Like Daniel, who could not turn aside. Lord God, we know that you are the same God. We believe you are without a doubt because you answered back to this man here, and I know, Lord, that you are a God of integrity, and I stand here before the people praying to acknowledge it. I do not believe for one minute that you'd allow anybody to answer back in your name according to this word, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not believe it could be possible because you are a God of integrity. You yourself said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and you said your children were those of obedience. They're of the same way, they're the same seed. There cannot then, Lord, be anything but what the prophet said. There's a bride out there somewhere. And if we're not bride, by the grace of God, we'll not stand away. We feel that way this morning, Lord. We just give you the honor and give you the glory. Give to your praise and credit that you are true, Lord. Every word we have of ourselves is a lie. Everything we do of ourselves is dishonorable, Lord. We are by nature those children of wrath, the children like the children of disobedience. But, Lord, by your grace, O God, we can stand with David and in our extremity, our extreme sense of dishonoring you and the extreme sense of ourselves, Lord, what we are by ourselves, even though we are children, we cry to you, oh God, put a new spirit within us. Change us completely, Lord, from center to circumference until it may be known that we are those who are with you in this journey of life. Heal the sick amongst us, we pray, Lord. Let there not be one feeble one amongst us. Brother Branham said that. I say it too. Lord God, as he was sent to heal your children with that message of healing, by a gift of healing, Lord, we don't have the gift of healing with us amongst us, but we have the message of healing, Lord. Let that message heal the people, Father. Let them have a strength from within they never knew, coming out, Lord, in the flesh, even as one day the life will manifest in our flesh if we be those true bride people. There'll be a change, Lord, a glorification. Then, Lord, there will not be any gravity can hold us. There will not be any bounds can hold us. There will be nothing, Lord. We'll be one in that great eternal spirit with you. To be with ever, Lord, and whatever you want, that's what we'll want as never before. And then, Lord, we'll see those things that we haven't seen before. Bless your people today, Lord. May it be from this moment on a constant source of power and blessing. Lead, guide, and direct in every facet and factor. We'll give you the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.